to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. Well, tax day is done for most of us. We've got our forms filed. Hopefully you filed everything and got that all taken care of. But what do you do with all those papers when you're done, if you file using papers or all the documents that you need? What kind of documents do you have in your personal file cabinet? Do you need all of them? Are there some missing that you should have on hand? We're going to talk about that today. We're going to talk with our friend Erica Griffin. She's an elder care specialist with Lutheran Senior Services. We did this about a year ago. It was a great conversation, and we're going to open the listener lines as well for you to call in with your questions today. You can do that 314-821-0850, 1-800-730-2727, or you can email us family@kfuo.org. That's family@kfuo.org. Or you can tweet today if you want to tweet your questions. I'm KFUO Andy, so you can send me a tweet at KFUO Andy. Be glad to answer your questions on a Twitter, email, or a phone call today. Thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University Wisconsin, for supporting this program. You can find out more about Concordia University Wisconsin on our website, kfuo.org. Look for the CUW logo in the sponsor section there. Well, as promised, joining me in studio today, the very kind and gracious Erica Griffin. She's an elder care specialist at Lutheran Senior Services, lssliving.org. Erica, welcome back to Faith and Family.
Thank you. Good morning.
Thanks so much for taking some time to step out of the office, the ringing phone and the emails and all the questions that come in and all the the many hats that you wear. One of them is being our special guest here on Faith and Family for this fun call-in program. Last year, I enjoyed the conversation. I know many of our listeners did as well. We had, a number of phone calls with questions and was talking with Jane recently and said, we need to have Erica back on because you answered so many questions and just gave us some thought provoking ideas, some things to consider when it comes to our personal file cabinet. Now, before we even get into that subject, let's talk about, what you do at Lutheran Senior Services. I know you wear many hats. What do you do as an elder care specialist?
As an elder care specialist at Lutheran Senior Services, we provide geriatric case management is our main goal. We go into the homes and we do assessments. We can do general assessments or we can do senior life step assessments on the client, basically just to get an idea of where they're at and if they need to be out of the home or if they need to bring in services in the home. Our goal is for them to stay in the home as long as possible.
Mm-hmm. And so by making those visits and those assessments, you get an idea of, is it safe for them to stay at home? And
we go through a number of assessments, activities of daily living, their individual activities of daily living. We go through memory assessments, depression, et cetera.
Now, in addition to those assessments, you also share presentations as well, right? And one of those is what's in your personal file cabinet.
Correct.
Well, tell us about going out and making visits. What are some of the places that you visit to share this presentation? What is in your personal file cabinet?
We get a lot of referrals from churches, parish nurses. We pretty much anyone who will have us, the presentations are free. So we can go do presentations to all type of groups.
What are some of the questions that come up in these presentations when you're talking about what's in your personal file cabinet? Now, I think about, tax documents and other legal documents that are important. What are some of the common questions that come up in those presentations?
A lot of people want to know how long do they keep the papers. There are people who I've talked to who've kept papers for 20, 30 years, tax papers, because they're afraid that the IRS is going to come back looking for them. And I just tell them, you keep tax documents for 7 years. If they haven't came and got you by the end, then they probably don't want you.
So 7 years is your rule of thumb for keeping tax documents.
Yes.
And so you want to keep those on hand in your personal file cabinet. Now, some folks might keep things electronically. Does that make a difference, keeping things electronically, you know, scanning them and keeping them that way? Do you know?
No, those are a lot of the new programs that are out there, is the things you see on TV where you can scan it and go to a computer program. Mm-hmm. Those are for the computer savvy people, but mm-hmm. a lot of the older people still want that hard copy.
Sure. Well, and even I feel more comfortable with a hard copy on some things. It's great if they're scanned because perhaps they're a little more accessible and
yes.
I can get to them from, you know, even when I'm not at home, which is nice. But there's something about having that hard copy because you just don't
Correct.
Always trust the technology.
Yeah. You know, computers still need us.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, I know I've scanned some important documents just to keep them, you know, and keep them in a safe place
right.
on a jump drive or someplace like that, so that have them handy in another place than just that hard copy, in case something happens to that hard copy, too.
Right.
All right, so tax documents are certainly one of those things that we might have questions about, how long to keep them and what all do we need to keep. Do you need to... Obviously, your tax return and then all your W-2s as well, all those statements.
You can keep W-2s for a year. You mm-hmm. know, you don't really need to keep them forever. You know, after you do your taxes, then it's pretty, you know, you don't need your W-2s anymore.
Okay.
A lot of things to do is to basically group your items together. So if you get your medical information, your legal information, your personal or family information and all your financial documents, you want to group all those things together first.
Okay.
Before you start to organize.
That was my next question. How do you go about organizing? What are the things that you want to find? What are the sections in that file cabinet? What are the types of documents that you want to keep?
Right. You want to keep your medical information, your Medicare, your Medicaid cards, your power of attorney for health care directive. If you don't have one of those, you need to get one.
Mm-hmm.
That's a very important document. And anytime you go to the hospital, they're going to ask you if you have one. And then they'll also offer to get you one while you're there.
Well, and let's talk about that, what that is in just a moment. I want to remind our listeners that the listener lines are open, 314-821-0850, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727, or you can email us, family@kfuo.org. We're talking with Erica Griffin. She's an elder care specialist with Lutheran Senior Services, talking about what's in your personal file cabinet. What are the important things to have in the personal file cabinet? Okay, you talked about a healthcare directive.
Correct.
What is a healthcare directive? Why is it important to have that on file?
Because if you become incapacitated or you can't speak for yourself, you mm-hmm. want somebody to carry out your wishes.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're unconscious, if you're in a coma, if you don't want to be on a ventilator, someone has to carry out your wishes, because if not, then doctors are going to do the life-saving techniques.
So this is an important document to have so that... that when it comes to what's important to you, what are your values and what's important to you, that those
Correct.
Things are carried out according to your wishes. And so you designate an individual to carry those out in the case that you're not able to answer questions.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe one or two. I wouldn't do mm-hmm. more than two, because you don't want them fighting over you.
Yeah. Yeah. So generally that might be a spouse or maybe
or a child.
Mm-hmm. Or someone
yeah.
close. So a healthcare directive, and now you want to have that in your personal file cabinet. Would the hospital most likely have something like that on file too, if you have one?
If you get it done, that's really easy to do. You just choose the person and then you get it notarized.
Mm-hmm.
And then I always advise people to make 3 or 4 copies, you know, one for themselves, that person, the doctor, or your primary care physician.
Okay. And so you need to have that notarized as well in the state of Missouri,
Correct.
Right? In order, and probably most states, I would assume that that's the case
yeah.
as well. That's a legal document that needs to be notarized.
Yes.
Very good. So a healthcare directive, that's one of those things you want right in the front of the file, right?
Yes.
Okay. And as you said, all those other places that you want to keep it as well, you want your primary care to have that, the hospital that you go to regularly, or
right.
that's your preference hospital, you want it on file there as well. Okay, so any other medical documents that are important to have on file?
Your medical information.
Mm-hmm.
They have something called the file of life, where you can pretty much they have the big sheet and they have the smaller sheet that you can put in a refrigerator somewhere. And you have all of your emergency contacts on it, your diagnosis, if you're on mm-hmm. any medications, if you want them to contact anyone. So in case the ambulance has to come in and get you, mm-hmm. they can find it. So you want to post it somewhere where it's visible.
Okay, so this is a document that has really pertinent information, like if you have allergies or yes. any medical conditions, any medicines that you're on, medications, anything like that. That's going to go in a place where EMS could find it very quickly on the fridge or someplace like that, a very prominent location.
Yes.
Well, that's important. You said there's a short file or a long file. Where would we find a document like that or just make it up ourselves, I suppose, too?
No. If you want the long file, I have the long file. You just have to give me a call and
okay.
I can mail it to you. The short one is usually through Mideast Area Agency on Aging, and they usually have the file of life.
Okay. All right. And it's called File of Life?
Yes.
All right. And we'll repeat this too later on today. If they have questions or documents they'd like to get from you, what's the phone number to reach you?
It's 314-446-2521.
314-446-2521 to reach Erica Griffin. Now, don't call her right now because she's here in the studio and she can't answer your call. But if you have a question for her today, you can call 314-821-0850, 1-800-730-2727. Jenny is graciously in there ready to answer phones if you have questions today and get your question into the program as well. Or you can email us, family@kfuo.org, or you can tweet KFUO Andy. We'd be glad to take some questions. All right, so medical documents, those are important. The power of attorney, is that right? Durable.
Correct.
Power of attorney, or a health directive, I think.
Healthcare directive.
And then the file of life, those are some of the key medical documents. Any others that are important to have?
Your living will.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You can actually get that done for free through County Elder Resident Program. They can do simple wills.
Okay.
And there is an income guideline, but it's pretty, you know, doable. And those are, they can help you get that done.
Okay.
They can also do power of attorneys for
okay.
the healthcare directive.
Very good. And where is that again that we can find
the
that?
County Elder Resident Program.
All right. County Older Resident Program. You can find out more about that. I bet Erica can connect you with that too. So all those are important medical documents to have, and especially that one that you keep on the fridge, the file of life, has all that really you know,
yes.
important stuff, important information that you'd want to know in an emergency, that EMS would really want to know in an emergency. That's important to have. Okay, so we've talked about the medical things, and a lot of those were going to go in the front of the file, except for the one that goes on the fridge.
Correct.
What else would be important to have in that in that file cabinet?
You want to group your personal information, your social security card, birth certificates, any death certificates, marriage certificates, any burial plot informations, military papers, immigration papers. You want to make sure all that stuff is grouped together.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a living trust, if you have a financial power of attorney, that's different from your health care. With the financial power of attorney, you're going to need a lawyer. And then if you have your will and your deeds, you want to make sure you group all those things together.
Gotcha. Now, in my personal file cabinet, I don't know if this is silly or not, but I also included documentation of immunizations as well.
That's
in
good.
That, you know, to just have a record, because I always forget, you know, when did I have a tetanus shot last, or when did I have this or that?
Yeah.
So I keep that in that area as well, near the front of the file cabinet.
That's good. That's all with your medical information.
Sure. Sure. Yeah. All that healthcare information. Okay, let's run through that list again in case there might have been some documents in there that I wasn't familiar with. I was thinking ahead too far. Okay, so again, what were some of those things that you want to have in that?
You want your birth certificate,
okay,
your Social Security
that.
Card,
mm-hmm.
Any burial information. A lot of people are doing prepaid burials
oh,
now.
Oh, yeah.
So that they can qualify for other services.
Okay.
Because if you have a whole life insurance and for some reason you need to get Medicaid, you'll have to get a prepaid burial in order to qualify.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. So you need that documentation handy in the file as well, so that family or your power of attorney, whoever is handling those things can handle that for you.
Right.
Okay. So you want to have that in there in the front of the file, easily accessible. What were some of the others again?
Bank accounts.
Oh, yeah.
Your mortgage papers, mm-hmm. your deeds, any investment documents. That's all your financial information. You want to make sure you got that all grouped together so mm-hmm. it's easily accessible.
Okay. So mortgage or other bank accounts, all that stuff,
right.
all that, all those
safe
fun numbers.
Boxes, yeah.
Yeah, all those right there. Okay. Very good. Other documents that that you think are important to have?
That's pretty much the most important things mm-hmm. That you're going to need. And then once you group it all together, you want to go start organizing it. A lot of people use shoeboxes from a long time ago, manila envelopes and you know, we talked about the computer programs that they have out now.
Mm-hmm.
You can use accordion folders. You can get you a small file cabinet to make sure that it stays organized. I always suggest to get a fireproof safe.
That was my next question. Yeah, what if these are damaged by you know water or fire or something like that? Or
right,
you know, one of those safes that.
You can get a fireproof safe. Make sure that it's something with a key or a combination that you can remember. Something that you can grab in case, you know, you have to get out the house real fast. So you don't want a, you know, big file cabinet that you got to put on a dolly.
Yeah, especially if you're going down three floors. Yeah, you
correct.
Don't want to do that. Okay, so something that you can handle quickly. Now, if it's one of those fireproof boxes, those can be kind of a little hefty, huh?
Some of them. Depends.
Yeah.
You know, there's some that are a little bit, you know, lightweight, but they're still good.
Yeah, see, I'm thinking you got to be in shape to carry
no.
these. I've lifted some of those fireproof ones. You got to be in good shape to lift them.
Depends on how many papers you got.
Sure.
You shouldn't have a whole mm-hmm. lot.
What about a safe deposit box? Does that ever come up as a question? What would you keep in a safe deposit box then?
A lot of people like to keep like their wills in safe deposit boxes.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably the most important thing. Things that, you know, they would need in case they pass away and
sure.
they want that one person to know where everything is at. The deeds to their houses,
mm-hmm.
Any certificates or anything that's worth value.
Mm-hmm. Sure. I was thinking about that. Now, if your wills are in the safe deposit box, then you need to make sure that whoever the beneficiary is in the will would be able to have access to that.
Or make sure that you get it done with a lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
If it's, you know, a large amount, make sure you have them as your, you know, estate to make sure everything is carried out.
Sure. Sure. All right, so tax documents, medical documents, bank documents, mortgage, wills, all these things are important things to have in that file. How often do we need to revisit some of these documents and update them?
For bills that you've already paid, bank statements, credit card statements, once you see that everything has been paid, there's no fraudulent activity on it, then in about 3 months, you can probably shred it.
Okay.
Unless you need them for tax purposes, I would get rid of them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing for medical and dental bills and pay stubs. I would keep those for about a year. Once you've used most of the items that you keep throughout the year for tax purposes, then you don't need them anymore.
Okay, so those regular monthly bills, those sort of things, just a year tops.
Yeah.
And then shred them.
I wouldn't keep them any more than a year.
Why is it important to shred documents today?
Because there, can't talk about that enough. Fraud, that is rampant right now. We've just seen about the IRS tax fraud where they're stealing mm-hmm. people's social security numbers and filing fake taxes on them. So it's best to shred. Make sure that it's one of the cross-cut shredders or that you can go to your bank on shred day
mm-hmm.
if your job has those boxes. don't just ball up your papers and just throw them in the trash, especially if they have account numbers on them, because there are such things as dumpster divers, and they go looking for things like that.
And as I would assume, many companies who shred, or many shredding services, that paper is not only being shredded, but also being recycled as well, probably.
Right. They turn it into all type of stuff, to new paper, cups.
Sure.
They turn it into all type of things.
So shredding certainly is important. Now, as you mentioned, lately, just the identity theft and filing someone else's, stealing someone's identity and then trying to file for a tax return using that identity has just been running rampant. I know, especially here in the St. Louis area, it's been a really big issue. You know, in my case, I thought, you know, if someone tried to steal my identity and file on my behalf, the joke may be on them, because the IRS would probably catch it pretty quickly because I haven't had a return in quite a while. So, but that is important. You want to protect your identity, especially for seniors. That's, I'm sure, an important issue today. If something like that goes undetected, that can really be a big problem.
Yeah. Telemarketers call seniors all the time, and I always tell them, don't talk to them. Just hang up. Don't give them any information. Don't give them your social security number. Don't go out and get green dot cards. You know, don't do any of that. You can also get on a registry. There's the National Do Not Call Registry, and there's the Missouri Do Not Call Registry. So you want to make sure that you get on both of those registries.
Mm-hmm.
You can also opt out of credit card offers. You can register to stop receiving junk mail. And you can also get your credit report every year. That's the most important thing that's going to stop the fraud, is to make sure that you get your annual credit report from all three agencies every year.
Is that frequently enough? Is once a year in, do you think that's frequent enough, or you know, do you check it more frequently? I know we check it pretty regularly, almost monthly.
I check mine a lot, because I've been a victim of fraud before. So if you've been a victim, I would probably check it every couple of months or so.
Because once something happens, then in order to, it's quite often the burden is placed on you in order to get that cleared up.
Yes.
And so the longer you wait,
it takes a long time.
Yeah. If you wait a whole year, you know, if you only check it once a year and that's in December and something happens in February, I mean, that's a long time to go with, you know, something on your record then.
Yeah.
So certainly checking that credit report, I think, in this day and age, I think it's just something that it's just going to become part of our regular monthly routine. When we pay bills, we also check the you know, our credit record.
Yeah, a good website that I like to tell people about is Credit Karma, and it's linked with TransUnion, Experian, and Equifax, and so it allows you to go in and check your credit score for free. It'll give you your Vantage credit score, your insurance credit score, and then if you have your email set up with it, it'll also send you alerts if anything happens, anything changes on your account.
And that's something that we have on an account, is a service where it sends you an alert as soon as any activity happens. And for sure, it does happen when you know, that when there's a change in my credit record, if there's an inquiry.
Yeah, whether it's good or bad.
Right. It sends me an alert, and I appreciate that. You know, it sends me an email and says, hey, you know, there's been a change on your credit record. Well, I you know, sometimes it may seem kind of annoying, but it's actually really quite helpful, and I appreciate it.
Yeah.
It's a good service. It's something I think just in this day and age that we don't have to obsess about it, but we certainly want to be aware.
Yeah, it stops a lot of headaches down the road.
Well, if you have a question about what to keep in your personal file cabinet, what documents you should have there, give us a call today. Erica Griffin, Elder Care Specialist with Lutheran Senior Services, is here today. The number's 314-821-0850, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727, or you can email us family@kfuo.org, or you can tweet KFUO Andy on Twitter is that's my Twitter handle. So we need to take a quick break. When we come back from that break, we'll continue our conversation with Erica Griffin from Lutheran Senior Services, LSSLiving.org, right here on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Jesus and the Bible exhorts us to agreement in all biblical teachings. I'm Rod Zwanitzer, one of the four hosts of Concord Matters, a show with that worthy goal, Concord, inviting you to join us Saturday mornings at 10 and repeated Tuesdays at 2 p.m., as well as 24/7 on demand.
Listen to Concord Matters on the Messenger of Good News, KFUO.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, president of Life Issues Institute.
There's a huge difference between the Democrat and Republican parties on abortion. It was clearly demonstrated when the pro-abortion media asked presidential candidate Rand Paul a gotcha question on abortion. Senator Paul responded they must first ask Democrat Party Chair Debbie Wasserman Schultz if she agreed with aborting a 7-pound preborn child. Once you get her answer, he said, come back and ask me questions about abortion. The media did, and Schultz said she opposes any restrictions on abortion throughout pregnancy. You and I must be good stewards of our votes by finding out where the candidates stand on issues important to our Heavenly Father. Then share that information with everyone you know and make sure everyone votes. Together, we can change our nation.
For more information, visit our website at lifeissues.org and stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
Hi, this is Rich Robertson, President and CEO of the Lutheran Church Extension Fund. We are excited to walk alongside Lutheran Church Missouri Synod members and ministries as they witness and perform works of mercy and compassion around the world. Investments with LCEF provide the exceptional financial resources used daily to build faith communities and serve God's people. Our loans and ministry support services are available to LCMS congregations, schools, and organizations, as well as rostered church workers. Visit LCEF today.
The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, on behalf of Concordia Plan Services, Lutheran Church Extension Fund, the LCMS Foundation, Lutheran Housing Support Corporation, Concordia University System, and Corporate Synod, daily reaches out to our members and partners, working together to support our local, global, and international ministries, church workers, and LCMS initiatives at large to carry the mission forward and to serve each other in love. Opportunities to serve, lcms.org/jobsboard.
Worldwide KFUO is easy to find on AM 850 in St. Louis and online at kfuo.org. Through our contacts page online, you can ask us questions, and there is good old snail mail, too. Our street address is KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. The worldwide leader of confessional Lutheranism. Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news for more than 90 years.
Lutheran Senior Services Benevolent Care invites you to Works of Heart 3 at Merrimack Bluffs on May 8th at 5:30 p.m. Experience inspirational works of art, both vintage and modern, while helping to restore hope to seniors in need. The evening will feature food and drink, along with live and silent auctions. It's free, however, donations to defray costs are welcomed. Go to worksofheart.eventbrite.com or call Maggie Spencer at 636-923-2315.
The world is the mission field of Worldwide KFUO. We bring the gospel of Christ to all nations. Worldwide KFUO reaches countries where missionaries on the ground can't go. Christ called us to proclaim the gospel to all nations, and that's what we do here every day at Worldwide KFUO. If our mission and worldwide outreach is important to you, would you please prayerfully consider supporting Worldwide KFUO at kfuo.org.
Well, Welcome back to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. We are talking about what's in your personal file cabinet today with our friend Erica Griffin. She's an elder care specialist with Lutheran Senior Services, LSSLiving.org. And we've talked about some of the important documents to have right there in the front of that file cabinet, medical documents, all those legal things that really make a difference, especially in the case when you're incapacitated or in the case of a death. You want to have those documents handy to make it easier for those who are handling your affairs. We're also talking about, did you have anything you wanted to add before we go on to the...
Go ahead.
We were talking about, well, just in this day and age with identity theft and fraud, that being a really important issue today, for any age, really. I was thinking, you know, this is really an issue for seniors, but I've even heard of children's social security numbers and information, their identity being stolen, because it's not something that you would normally check on a regular basis. My son doesn't have a credit card account. He hasn't bought a home or anything like that. So we don't necessarily
have a gas bill.
What's that?
He might have a gas bill.
Yeah, someone might, you know, use that information and try opening an account using his identity. So those are things that you want to monitor as well. When we were talking about monitoring your credit,
yeah.
And quite often in many of those services, you can add children under the age of like 18 for like a dollar more or something like that a year. I mean, or for a reasonable rate. Some of them won't charge you the full rate for that
right.
service if you have other adults in the household already on that plan. Now, when we were on break, you were taking a look at some of the tips that you share in presentations when you're talking about what's in your personal file cabinet and dealing with identity theft and fraud as well. And as
right.
you were sharing those, I'm thinking these all seem like common sense things, but we don't necessarily think about them until we actually discuss them. Let's
right.
take a look at some of those tips that you were sharing.
Some of the tips are: don't give out your social security number unless you initiate the contact.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure that you invest in a shredder, or like we talked about before, go to your bank when they have the National Shred Day,
mm-hmm.
Or if your job has a shredder.
Let's go back to the giving out your social security number or any really personal information, personally
right.
identifying information. That can happen so seemingly innocent and quickly.
Yes.
You're at home, you're in the middle of something, somebody calls and says, you know, or so-and-so with such-and-such agency, sounds reputable, sounds like, or maybe they use the name of a service that,
yep.
that you already use. They say, we're calling about your account, and we need to verify some information on your account. Can you give us dot, dot, dot? Can you give us your date of birth, your mother's maiden name, or your social security number, or anything like that?
If it's a valid account, they should already have that information.
And why are they calling you and asking for that information is the first question you should be asking.
Correct.
Why are they calling you? You should, if they want that information, you should be able to go back and find the correct phone number.
Exactly.
As for that office and contact them if they really need that information. Most likely, if they're calling you and asking for that information, it's a scam.
Yes.
And
yes.
So you don't want to give out, but it seems, you know, in the moment, in the middle of the moment, you're busy doing something, there are kids screaming in the background or, you know, you're trying to fix a broken faucet or something like that. And you're just trying to get them off your back really quickly. And so you just think, okay, yeah, dot, 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 and give them the answers. When really what you've just done is fed your information to
someone,
a scam artist,
probably in another country.
Hmm. Who's stealing your identity.
Exactly.
And whether they use it or sell that information to someone else,
Yeah, and they sell them very fast.
Hmm.
Yeah, you can get off of one list or one registry, and they've sold it before anything happened.
Hmm.
All they do is just sell them. It's just a piece of paper that they're selling with social security numbers on it.
And it goes down just in a matter of seconds. So not just social security number, but other any personally identifying information. You don't want to just throw out there over
right,
the phone.
Any account numbers,
mm-hmm.
Just anything that's related to identifying you,
mm-hmm.
your address, your phone number, anything.
Mm-hmm. Especially the combination of putting those things together when you give them all that information in one phone call. Man,
then
that's a dangerous thing.
Pretty much
Yeah, you're putting yourself out there. Okay, so so don't give out that information unless you have initiated the call and you know that where you're calling for certain.
Correct.
Okay.
Make sure that you're investing in a shredder or going to a shred box. You don't need to carry a Social Security card on you. Most of the time when you go to a doctor, they already have your Social Security number. You really don't need your Medicare card because it has your Social Security number on it. So you can leave those things at home.
In the file cabinet, in the lockbox, wherever you keep all those things locked up and safe.
Make sure that you're checking your credit card statements and your bank statements monthly. You're looking out for unauthorized purchases. Some people do it. I'm the person, I check my bank account every day.
My wife
every
does
morning,
too.
Yeah. Because it happens fast.
Sure. And next thing you know, you go to write a check or use your debit card and it doesn't work.
It's gone.
It's gone. And because transactions can happen so quickly, instantly. You know, this isn't the day where you write a check and it takes
3 days, right?
You know, 2 weeks for it to clear. You write it and so it's scanned somewhere and those numbers go through electronically just as the same as swiping a card somewhere today. It's not the gone are the days of the little machine where they roll it over the credit card.
A lot of banks now, they work off of real time is what they call it. So anything that goes through, it can go through immediately. So even if it's a check, they don't have to wait a day or so, it can go through immediately.
And let's talk about checks.
Yeah.
Let's talk about checks. Say you close a checking account. You close an account. There's nothing left in it. And you got these extra checks. You just throw them away.
No. I made that mistake. You do not throw away your checks. You have to shred them or burn them because the bank is the only one that knows that the account is closed. The stores don't know that your account is closed. So when they get your checks and write checks, it's going to go through because it's a good account. But when it goes to the bank, the bank is going to say this is a closed account and they're going to send it back to the store. The store is in turn going to send you a letter saying we want our money. And here's all these fees.
Right. And slapping some fees on top of it as well. So someone... not only are you getting these fees, but someone's now stolen your identity.
Right. And they've went on a shopping spree because by the time you get the letter from the store, they've did all the shopping that they're going to do.
So
then you have to make a police report and you got to get your credit back right because it's going to be on your credit report showing that you owe Walmart, Kmart, and everybody all this
Every
money.
Other mart under the sun.
So you're going to have to, it's going to take a while, at least probably a year, 9 months to get it all under control.
Now, granted, some places, some businesses have some practices in place that can help reduce the chances of that, you know, asking for ID and things like that when they run those. But
yeah, but I've been behind people in stores that are using credit. Even not with even a PIN number, and they still don't ask for ID. So it's
right.
About
it just depends.
Training your employees to stop that.
Sure, but for the criminal, it's learning where the places are that are lax on their practices,
and they know.
Learning where those places are, and that's where they end up using your identity.
Yeah. And they know where to go. You know, or they may have a friend who works there and will allow them to come and use it or whatever and don't ask for ID.
Or you've got, the person in line in front of you whose purchase is taking forever. And so everybody else in line behind you is getting all frustrated. The cashier picks up on that and trying to get everybody else through quickly. They skip some of those important safety procedures in that process because the person in front of you took so long in their order when really it was all set up to happen that way.
Exactly.
So that's when that's
you
another.
You have to be aware.
Okay, so you don't want to leave blank checks laying around. Don't want to carry a bunch of blank checks around with you.
No.
Even if they're for a closed account.
Right, Right. And then if you're going shopping, I mean, you're not going shopping and use all of your checks. So just carry the ones that you need. Mm-hmm. If you're going to pay a couple of bills, just, you know, pull them off and put them in your purse or already have it rolled out. That way, if you do lose them, there's mm-hmm. nothing that they can do with it. And then make sure that most people are having their funds direct deposited now. So it's just a good idea to have your funds direct deposited.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I still know people who say, I want to feel my money. So they still want to check
mm-hmm.
so that they can cash and feel their money.
Sure. Sure. Well, you know, cash on the barrel, Paul always says. cash, it has its advantages and disadvantages. The advantages, you see how much it is that you have, and you know, they can't get to the rest of your account if you're carrying cash. But if someone steals your cash,
right,
there's no way to track it. There's no way to
exactly
to get that back. Really,
I carry a lot on me.
Right, right. So other tips, we've talked a lot about identity theft and fraud. We talked about checks and you know, blank checks and old checking accounts.
Right.
We talked about shredders. You like the crisscross kind, right?
Yes, the cross-cut shredder, because mm-hmm. there are people who will still try and get the shredded paper and put it back together.
Like a puzzle.
Like a puzzle.
Man.
You know, with the cross-cut, the pieces are cut smaller.
Mm-hmm.
So there's, you know, really not a good chance of them trying to put it back together.
And there are some shredders that'll even shred old credit cards for you,
yes.
and things like that, CDs, you know, like
yes.
the CD-ROM, those types of things. You can shred those as well in some of those heavy-duty
right.
shredders that can handle staples and yeah. things like that as well.
Yeah, I mean, you can get the one that's about $12 that goes on top of the trash can,
mm-hmm.
but it's probably not going to work as good.
And they aren't necessarily cross shredders either. Some of them are. Some of them are just the strip shredders.
Right.
And I think I've burned through probably about 4 or 5 of those. Just, yeah. you know, shredding old bills, yeah. things like that. Going through those, you know, shredding old bank documents and bills. And I won't say which ones had the larger numbers on them. But going through it and shredding those takes some time. And sometimes I would leave a big stack of them to all be shredded at once. But then when you do that all at once, that kind of really...
That's how you burn it up.
Yep, that's how you burn it up and ruin a shredder. Have you burnt up any shredders, Erica?
No, I've been lucky to have places where I can take my papers.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I have managed to, like I said, burn up probably 4 or 5 of those shredders, just running so many documents through them. Any other tips that are handy for us to think about, whether it's the file cabinet or identity theft and fraud things, to just to be safe when it comes to our yeah. information?
Just make sure that you're just staying aware. Stay aware of your surroundings when you go to the ATM machine. Mm-hmm. Make sure you don't turn around. There's someone looking over your shoulder to get your PIN number. And even at the grocery store, you know, there are people who mm-hmm. will try and figure out things or see what you're doing. You just make sure that especially with being a senior, there are a lot of people who pry on seniors.
Mm-hmm.
So you just have to stay, you know, if you do go somewhere, a lot of seniors still want to remain independent and they don't want you to baby them.
Sure.
But it's
none
okay.
None of us want to be babied. Yeah.
It's okay to go to the grocery store with your caregiver or with the family member, you know, because there are people who are just looking out to just, mm-hmm. you know, do things.
I'm glad you mentioned PIN numbers and things like that. I don't know if you saw a story on one of the TV evening news programs, one of the, you know, the national ones, that some cameras on phones, you can install an app or a device on your phone instead of taking a regular picture, it takes a image of the heat, like an infrared heat. So basically, after you punch in your PIN on the keypad at a grocery store or something like that,
right?
Then they hold when they come right up, they're right. holding their camera and doing it so nonchalantly, they don't even realize they're doing it. And what they can do then is it can see which buttons you pushed.
I saw that.
And based on how hot each one is, how much heat remains on each one, they can even
yep.
figure out what order they're pressed those PIN numbers are pressed in.
Yes, I did see that.
Pretty sneaky, huh?
Yeah. I mean, the crooks are smarter than us.
Oh. Well, you know, and so they offered some remedies. Use something else rather than your finger to punch in the PIN number. That's one way. Or use a PIN number that is hard to determine the order because maybe it repeats a number or something like that.
Right.
But still, it doesn't take very long for someone to figure it out if they have that sort of technology. But they also have to have your debit card number as well in order to, you know, they might learn your PIN, but that really doesn't do them any good if they don't have your debit card information. So they'd have to obtain both of those. My credit union recommended not using a PIN when you're making purchases at the store. Just run it as credit because it has more protection on it that way.
Yeah, and then they should be asking for your identification, mm-hmm. which they don't do all the time.
Sure, right, and that's true. And my cards even say CID on them. Uh-huh. You know, in order to be properly identified. And you're right, not every vendor asks for that. Just, you know, it's a bad habit, but out of convenience, because we want everything to go quickly, a lot of vendors just don't ask for it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, when someone does ask for it, when a vendor does ask for it, I thank them.
Yeah.
I tell them, thank you for checking that. I appreciate that they're concerned about, you know, my safety and protecting my account. So I certainly do thank him for that. But I don't know if that's always the case, but my credit union, their customer service suggested when it asks for a PIN, just say no. And then it'll usually defer to credit. And and then that generally has more protection in it as well, because the credit card services then offer some protection on your account as well, more so than just your plain debit account.
Right. Because that's only going to be linked to your bank account.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's something new we learned this year, and that we use a little more frequently. Noel, now I've shared all this personal information with all our listeners. Hopefully no one out there is trying to figure out my habits and everything and try to steal my identity. We don't want that. But
no.
Other things, anything that we haven't talked about that needs to be in that personal file cabinet, or other things about that personal file cabinet with just a couple minutes left. And reminder, if you have a question for Erica today, give us a call, 314-821-0850, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. family@kfuo.org, or you can also tweet a message. KFUO Andy would be glad to take a question as we're wrapping up our conversation today here with Erica Griffin, LSS, LSSLiving.org, Elder Care Specialist with Lutheran Senior Services. Erica, any other tips today for us on this topic when it comes to that personal file cabinet or some of the things we've been talking about with identity theft?
The main thing about getting your papers in order is to just make sure that you have everything available mm-hmm. when it's needed, and it causes, you know, not a lot of heartache on your loved ones in case of an emergency.
Mm-hmm.
So if everything is in order, then you don't really have to worry about what's going to happen, mm-hmm. you know, when something happens.
If everything's in order, easily accessible, yet safe and secure, makes it easier on them, especially during what's an emotional and stressful time.
Exactly. And then if it's available, then it's just easier,
mm-hmm.
you know, for them to know where everything is at and know that everything has already been taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to worry about, you know, well, did she have this or did she have that, or where's this, where's mm-hmm. that? Because you already know that, you know, and it eases your mind in case of an emergency mm-hmm. so that it's readily available.
Sure. That's true. That can reduce some of the tension and stress in those times because you know all those things are already taken care of. What are some common questions that come up when you're out talking about personal file cabinet? What are some of the questions that people ask when you're out presenting on this?
Most people ask a lot about veterans' benefits.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of veterans' widows that are out there who don't know anything about aid in attendance,
mm-hmm.
That, you know, don't know that they can get monies to help with their care or to help them be able to move into assisted living and afford it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's mainly, you know, a lot of questions that I get is concerning veterans.
So there can be support for widows of veterans in order to help them with their living costs and things like that.
Yes. Yeah. For just widows, but for veterans that become disabled.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
You know, assisted living is expensive. And if you can get $2,800 a month to help pay for it, that's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that makes it more affordable to go to assisted living and not go to a nursing home.
Mm-hmm. And so that's certainly something that they might need help with in navigating.
Yes.
That. Is that something that you can do as an elder care specialist, help them, or you can connect them to the right people who can?
I can connect them to the right people. Mm-hmm. Veterans benefits take a long time to get sometimes. And sometimes I'll tackle it, but I like to let the pros handle it.
And that's just it. That I think as an elder care specialist, you do a fine job of connecting them to resources. You're a really good resource person.
Yes.
And connecting people to those right resources so that they get the assistance that they need.
Correct. We do a lot of referrals.
I bet. Now, this what is in your personal file cabinet is part of the Speakers Bureau, and
yes.
And so you all have other presentations, other topics that you can present on as well. What are some of the other topics that you and some of the other specialists offer?
There's a presentation on nutrition.
Mm-hmm.
There's a presentation called Happiness, which touches on depression, and there's a presentation on memory and aging.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of other presentations. Mm-hmm. We do our presentations for free, so we don't charge to come out to your group.
Mm-hmm.
and do the presentations. So if you want a presentation, you're welcome to call.
Okay, and who do we get in touch with for that?
You can contact our Agent Answers and referral line.
Okay.
And it's 314-446-2475.
314-446-2475. And that's the Aging Answers line at LSS Living. And that just helpful people there on the other end of that line to help answer questions and get you connected to the right resources, the right folks.
Yes. We're there Monday through Friday from 8 to 5.
Thanks for doing that. You know, as we get older and we have more questions, it's so nice that we have a friend that we can go to, someone that we can go to help us get connected to the right resources to answer those questions. You know, as we pointed out, you may not be able to walk us through all those processes, but you know who to connect us to, how to meet, you know, referrals to make. And that's really important. Most of the time. Yeah. Well, we certainly do appreciate it. And I thank you for sharing with us today about what's in your personal file cabinet. I know that's answered some questions for me and made me think through some things. Now I need to go back home and clean up the file cabinet a little bit and clean up some of the documents, get some of the things out of there that we don't necessarily need that are just kind of cluttering up the space. You know, like, you know, old passes to Disney World. Probably don't need those anymore. They're expired, huh?
No.
things like that. So clean it out and make sure it's nice and neat and easy for other family members to access if they need to do so. Erica, thank you so much for being our guest today.
Thanks
sharing with us on this.
Me.
And we always appreciate it. And what's your number again, too, if we need to get in touch with you, if we have questions for you?
It's 314-446-2521.
Thank you so much. Erica Griffin, Elder Care Specialist at Lutheran Senior Services, LSSLiving.org. Thanks for being our guest today.
Thanks.
Well, in just a little bit, we've got Thy Strong Word. We'll get to that. I want to remind you about our Share-a-thon coming up Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. You can join in the fun celebrating the ministry here. Lots of guests, a whole variety of guests and hosts over those 3 days, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. You can join us for that. You can not only listen in, but you can also call in and pledge your support for Worldwide KFUO. You can do that over the phone, or you can do it online at kfuo.org. Well, coming up in just a little bit, Thy Strong Word with Pastor Whedon. Stick around for more right here on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Listen to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at KFUO.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.